Good evening. I don't know about you, but I have really enjoyed our time of worship so far together. I love that song that we sang the past couple weeks, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. It's one of my favorite songs. We've got to give credit to Jay. Jay is supposed to be leading our worship tonight, but it's got kind of a throat thing. But appreciate the guys kind of stepping in so we can worship together. That's what this is all about, that we can gather together and lift up not just pretty voices, but lift up our heart in worship. And man, when we do that, is a beautiful, powerful thing. But tonight, as we kind of spend a little bit of time together in the Word, I want us to go to 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, I want us to reflect on what is kind of a strange story. It's about the prophet Elisha. And as we think about this story, we see a bit of a journey in the midst of this story. And so I want to keep things pretty simple. We're not going to dig into a lot of the stuff that's going on here, but I want us to find some encouragement from the journey that we see in this story. And before we get into that, let's just take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank you so much for tonight, God. We thank you for worship and being able to lift up our hearts and our voices in praise for you. Father, we thank you for the way that you are here and present with us. And Father, we thank you for the way that you have promised to always be with us and guide us. God, we thank you for hearing our prayer. And Father, we thank you for giving us your word and for guiding us into your truth. We pray tonight as we think about this story and as we think about our journey with you that you would help us to walk in deeper faith and deeper trust. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the story begins in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. It says, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. So let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him so that he can stay there whenever he comes to us. So one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and he lay down there. And he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. And so he called her and she stood before Elisha. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And so, kind of what's going on here so far is there's this well-to-do Shunammite woman who offers hospitality to the prophet Elisha. And as kind of a response to her hospitality, Elisha asks her, what can we do for you? You've done so much for us. What can we do for you? And listen to how she replies. She says in verse 13, she replied, I have a home among my own people. Which is kind of a weird response. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Verse 14, Elisha then said, what can be done for her? And Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. And then Elisha said, call her. And so he called her and she stood in the doorway. And Elisha said, about this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms. No, Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was reaping. He said to his father, my head, my head. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. And after the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. So she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and then shut the door and went out. So the story kind of takes, it's kind of got some ups and downs. There's the moment where she receives a son. She had wanted a son her entire life, and she finally had one. But then in this tragic twist, this tragic moment, the son is taken away from her. But what's interesting is her response. She takes the boy's body up to the prophet's room, and then she leaves. And listen to what happens next. Verse 23, she called her husband and said, please send me one of the prophets and a donkey so that I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today, he asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath thing. Like, there's nothing religious going on here. And scholars think that maybe she's kind of keeping the fact that her son had died away from her husband. We don't know why, The husband thinks she's just going on some kind of religious journey. And she says, it doesn't matter. And so she saddled the donkey, said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. And so she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he had saw her in the distance, the man of God says to a servant, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you okay? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. So she's not willing to kind of tell the servant what's going on. But when she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and hasn't told me why. She said, did I ask you for a son? Didn't I tell you don't raise my hopes? And Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. Don't greet anyone you meet. If anyone greets you, do not answer, and lay my staff on the boy's body. So the prophet sends his servant on this express mission to lay his staff on the boy in hopes that the boy might be healed. It says, don't stop for anyone, just go. And the mother replied in verse 30, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. And so he got up and followed her. She was so connected to the prophet. She said, I'm not leaving your side. We need you. And so Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound, no response. And so the servant went back to meet Elisha and said, the boy's not awakened. And so when Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on the couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And then he got on the bed and lay on the boy mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hand. And as he stretched himself out, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room. And then he got into the bed and stretched out on him once more. And the boy sneezed seven times and then opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. And when she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. And then she took her son and went out. So this is kind of an interesting story, isn't it? There's a lot going on here. What is this story about? I think there are probably a lot of layers that we could talk about. But I want us to think about this story in terms of faith. So who has faith? It's kind of an interesting question to ask at a gathering, a worship gathering, isn't it? But it's actually not even a very good question to ask in general. Why? Because we all have faith. A better question is, in what have you placed your faith, or in whom have you placed your faith? And I think that's proper grammar. Don't hold it against me if it's not. But see, the point is, though, that we all have faith in something. It's just a matter of what. Just a matter of who. And we know, as followers of Jesus, that God is the one who is faithful, right? God is the one in whom we should place our faith. And so our goal should be to place our faith in deepening levels of trust and in faith in God. And so that process of deepening trust and deepening faith is what I like to think of as a faith journey. Because that's exactly what faith is, isn't it? Faith is a journey. It's not a static destination. You never arrive in faith. Our faith is a journey because our faith is taking us somewhere. And so, in the midst of this crazy kind of story, we are given a glimpse of what I would call this woman's faith journey. We get to see her deepening levels of faith. And so that journey kind of takes three stages to it. There's first, her faith is challenged, and then her faith is refined, and then her faith is honored. Let's talk about those three. First, her faith is challenged. She is this well-to-do woman. She offers hospitality to the prophet, and so the prophet wants to do something for her. But do you remember her reply? She said, I have a home among my own people. What exactly is she saying? What exactly is that about? It's basically her saying, you know what? I'm good. You know what? I'm okay just where I am. I don't need anything at all. I'm good with just the way things are. See, for her, life was comfortable. Life was predictable. She knew kind of what was going on. She knew where she was. And so she was comfortable where she was. But see, this woman, at one point we could only assume, had tried and tried and tried to have kids and wasn't able to. And we know that that can be just a devastating thing to go through. But this woman had come to peace with it. She had come to a place where she was comfortable, where she was good with the way her life was. And that kind of comfort isn't always a bad thing. When we come to a place where we're okay, where we're content with our situation in life, it's not a bad thing. But when that contentment becomes kind of a comfort zone, where we're not open to God doing something new or God doing something surprising, it becomes a bad thing. And that's kind of what was going on for this woman. And so faith was risky for her. Her life was comfortable, but faith was risky because the prophecy that the prophet made to her was going to turn her life upside down. If this was true, if she did have a kid, her life was going to be completely different than it was before. People would wonder, like, where did this child come from? Did it come from her husband, or maybe was it illegitimate? Did it come from someone else? And then there's just the reality that having a kid turns your life upside down. And so if the prophecy was risky, faith is risky. Walking into the things that God has for us requires we take that step of faith. But when we do, then God reveals all of the beautiful things that he has for us. See, the problem for this woman and the problem for some of us is we get comfortable in our comfort zone. But we get so settled in where we are that we aren't always open to what God has for us next. We aren't always open for the next step of the journey. And in situations like that, thank God, it takes us to the point where our faith is challenged. And then the next movement of the story is her faith being refined. And by refined, I'm talking about the process of removing all of the unwanted materials. Think of refining a piece of jewelry or a piece of fine metal or whatever. In this moment, in this story, God brings her to a place where her faith is challenged. And then her faith is refined. Because not only does the prophecy come true, but then disaster strikes, right? Disaster comes to this woman's life. Her child dies. Her faith was challenged. She met the challenge. She stepped up to the plate. She welcomed this child into the world. She raised this child. She grew attached to this child. And then the child was taken from her. The boy died. But did you notice the way this woman responds? It's a really interesting response. Because we would expect this woman to prepare for this boy's funeral. Because that's what the Jewish culture was all about. They would often have the funeral and the burial within 24 hours of a death. And so you would think that she would start preparing for that funeral and for that burial. But what'd she do? She takes the boy up to the prophet's room. And then she goes to see him. What was she expecting to happen? Well, I think she was expecting the prophet to be able to do something about it. She knew that this was a powerful man of God. And so this strange response is her growing in her faith. She moves from challenging, questioning the prophet to trusting that God was at work in him and that God could do something through him. And see, that's what God does. God takes the difficult moments in our life and he helps us to grow in our faith. Faith grows through our challenges. Too often, when we go through difficult seasons in life, we let them push us away from God, don't we? When things don't work out the way we want them to, when there's tragedy, when there's loss, when there's questions about where the money for the bills are going to come from, when things aren't going according to plan, if we're not careful, it can push us further away from God. We begin to question God. We begin to blame God. But that's not what happens for this woman, and that's not what should happen to us. See, faith grows in the challenging seasons in life, but the challenge for us is to allow our faith to grow, to allow God to take our brokenheartedness, to take our messed up situation, and draw us deeper into faith. Think about those times in your life when you've grown the most spiritually. almost all of them will have challenges associated with it. As I look back over my life, it's those moments where I've been pushed out of my comfort zone. It's those moments where things didn't go according to plan, when there's struggle and pain and difficulty, when I have grown the most, because that's the way our faith journey works. I heard someone say recently a quote that I think is really profound. It's that God never wastes suffering. We said last week that our life is often full of suffering and tragedy and difficult seasons. But as we put our trust in God, none of those difficult seasons are wasted, because God can use it all to draw us deeper into faith with Him. And so the next portion of this woman's journey is that her faith was honored. This story is a story with a happy ending. The boy was brought back to life. I don't know about you, the only person I know who's been brought back to life was Jesus. Sometimes the difficult situations have a happy ending. Sometimes the situation works out perfectly and things are good. But how often has bad situations not really resolved themselves? When we lose a loved one, we're not going to come back to life. We don't expect that. And yet, every single time we put our faith in God, our faith is going to be honored. But for us, where we are different than the Shunammite woman, is that our faith sometimes is honored in the here and now, in the present day of our lives. But often that faith is honored, not now, but that faith is honored in eternity. I want us to reflect for a second on the passage, the famous passage of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to listen to this. Hebrews 11, verse 13, talking about all of these great people of faith, said all these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. And then in verse 36, it talks about some others and said, some faced jeers and floggings, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. The point is, these people of faith went through life with struggle and with difficulty. But listen to verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, and yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, then only together with us would they be made perfect. And when we live by faith, our faith is often challenged. There are difficult seasons in life. But if we allow those difficult seasons to draw us deeper into faith, we have a promise that that faith will be honored. And sometimes that faith is honored as we go about our life. Sometimes the situation is made better. Sometimes the problem is fixed. Sometimes the difficulty goes away. But often, the payoff for our faith doesn't come until eternity. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary afflictions are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. As we wrap up, I've got three encouragements for us as we try to deepen this journey of faith in our lives. And first, that's to leave your comfort zone. Be willing to step out in faith. Be willing to let God do something new in your life. Be willing to step out in faith. But then know that difficult seasons may come. And in those difficult seasons, trust in God. Allow Him to draw you deeper into Him. And then fix your eyes on eternity. Fix your eyes on eternity. I don't know where you are in your faith journey tonight. Maybe you're in a place where you need encouragement, where you're struggling through one of those difficult moments and you need prayer and encouragement. Or maybe you've never really begun your faith journey. You've never put your faith in Jesus on in baptism, and you'd like to talk about that tonight. If you have a need to respond as God calls you into deeper faith, why don't you come forward as we stand and continue our worship.